720 WGN. It is Dane here with you, high atop Chicago, in the Skyline Studio, and an eclectic plan, an exciting show coming up, and we'll be with you until 7 p.m. and a lot in there, so we're going to get rolling as soon as possible. Some of the things that we're going to touch on, we are going to talk a little bit of food, of course, some Chicago favorites that we're looking forward to, and some spins on them that some purists may see as sort of blasphemous, right? Or maybe they would say, like, okay, I would be open-minded, right? It's the cutting edge. It's progress in a bunch of different ways, but remaining and maintaining a lot of that tradition as well. So we're going to talk about that. Plus, we're going to talk a little travel as well. And on the food side, and we'll talk a little bit of travel with, holiday stuff as we get towards Mother's Day and a little bit of Cinco de Mayo. Lots of great stuff coming up as well. When it comes to food and it comes to travel, a lot of the great volunteers for the West Suburban Community Pantry, they travel to their living room, their den, their studio, the place where they have their Zoom meetings, and everybody does that. And it was for the occasion of the volunteer celebration. And we're going to do a tiny bit of a recap. It's always great to highlight the things that they do and give a little shout out for all the great work that they're doing for so many people. And on the line with his development director over there, Lisa Spaeth. Lisa, welcome to WGN.
Hi, Dane. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. Just wanted to kind of, give that opportunity for those volunteers to get an additional accolade and shout out. What a really fun time to kind of spend times with the volunteers. So this was the first time that you guys had to give back to the people who give so much and do it virtually.
Yeah, it was. We wanted to really make Volunteer Appreciation Week and night really special for those volunteers that we haven't seen in person for a year, and we wanted to be able to, they've been working hard from their house and in the pantry, so we really wanted to do something special for them this year.
A big thanks to, we got a chance to MC, and we've done, as far as the chef's gala, we've MC'd that and been a part of it for many years up until, of course, COVID. But if you could share with the listeners, we've all heard so many of the news story about food insecurity being such an important issue and in such an important need. But as a pantry, how hard has it been, with everything going on, to have volunteers, to get volunteers? And what does that look like, as far as the actual inner workings, right, of the pantry itself?
Yeah, for the past year has been kind of a roller coaster for us at the pantry. We've seen upwards of, at the beginning of the pandemic, a spike of 70% increase in the need for food. Right now we're at about a 50% increase, and we don't see that, slowing down anytime soon. But the volunteers, we, at the beginning, we were very low on volunteers, and we've been starting to welcome volunteers back. And we've had a lot of new volunteers that have stepped up and come into the pantry to help us out, because we can't have as many people at the pantry. So we have volunteers there all the time packing boxes and delivering food to off-site locations and to seniors at home. So they've really stepped up over the past year, and we've got new volunteers. We've got volunteers that have been with us forever doing things just a little different.
For the people that may not be as familiar with the West Suburban Community Pantry and where it is, describe and tell the listeners, we've got a vast listening audience. You guys, from a footprint of a pantry perspective, pretty big, right? It's most of DuPage County, but tell people where you guys are, and for those listeners that may be within sort of that range of the places you serve.
Yeah, so the West Suburban Community Pantry, we're located in Woodridge, right at Hobson and 53, and we serve all of DuPage County, Bolingbrook, and Romeoville. And then we have our virtual food pantry that you can, go online and order groceries and pick up at different community locations that's convenient for you. We spread, if you can't get to the pantry itself, we have other locations that you can get food.
And one of the perks we wanted to mention, give a shout out to Mariano's, a good friend's, because they have, you know, grocery locations, at least three or four, maybe even five within, maybe even more, right, within sort of the jurisdiction or the interest area of the pantry. And for the volunteers, we did a demo on one of the muchachas salsa, right? We did that for the, so they got an opportunity not only to have a little bit of fun, a couple laughs, but also learn some things. And then because we're coming up to Cinco de Mayo, too, they got a chance to have Matt Chinata from Hornitos make sort of that perfect margarita.
Yes, I have to tell you, we after that demo they did, we had the nachos and we had the margaritas, and they were phenomenal. It was a great Friday night in our house, but yeah, we could not be more excited that Mariano's joined us to, you know, thank our volunteers.
Yeah, let the listeners know we're talking with Lisa Spates. She's the development director at West Suburban Community Pantry. Serious business a lot of times with what you do, but it's nice to have a little bit of fun with it as well. And as we let you go, you give out the website for the pantry and for people hearing this that may want to volunteer, maybe even just to get in on that next, you know, margarita class, but of course for the purpose of helping with the pantry, where can they go?
Yeah, our website is wscpantry.org, and you can find volunteer information and more information about the pantry itself.
Good stuff going on there. Thanks again, Lisa, for all you guys are doing. Looking forward to a fun summer as well. Thanks for jumping on the show tonight.
Thanks, Dane.
All right, we are going to take a break, and we come back as people are starting to think about venturing out, getting in the car, doing that road trip, but also maybe get an opportunity to see a little bit of the wild side of things and a little social distancing as well. Wild Florida has all of it. We'll talk with Sam Hott when we come back. So keep it here. It's Dane on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Sam Hott with Wild Florida, and you're on the road with Dane at WGN.
720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio, and excited to have on the line as we get to the point where the weather warms up a tiny bit here and people are thinking, based on the news reports and some progress with the pandemic, of getting out in 2021 and taking those family road trips to so many different places, one of the favorite destinations of all time, regardless of the climate of the world, is the Florida area, is Kissimmee. And one of those great locations, and you know and listeners will know that this is a place that is near and dear to our heart, not only travelers everywhere, but to listeners of the program. And there is so much to do and excited to have on Sam Hott. He is one of the co-owners over there at Wild Florida. Sam, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks, Dane. Great to be on the call.
So let's talk a little bit about it. In your area and some of the things down there in Florida and associated with the area and Kissimmee, so much about the theme parks, some of the excitements, the attraction, all of that is there. But there is also a wild side to the area that may not be as well known to people. And you've got it kind of corralled there at Wild Florida.
Yeah, we've really got a great spot where you basically can choose your own adventure, whether you want to ride, walk, or drive through one of the many activities that we have here. We've got something for everybody, depending on just how wild and crazy you want to get. But this spot that we're at really, I think, is just far enough outside the development line that you can see what Kissimmee and Central Florida used to look like before all the development hit.
You look at it, that's 85 acres. And here's something I think is important for people to know, too, is that this is real, right? This isn't animatronic characters. This isn't paper mache headed mascots and all the things that people do know, love and appreciate about the area. These animals are real. You mentioned the different ways that people can experience it. Some of those things, I think, are part of the normal experience at Wild Florida. But some of those for people who are, you know, easing into the regular new normal. Let's talk about the ways that people can experience still maintaining some social and maybe safety distancing, right, with the safari type tours.
You know, we got really lucky and timed the opening of our drive through safari right before the pandemic came into, you know, everyone's reality back in 2020. And it turned out to be, from everything we can tell at this point, to be pandemic proof. And really the right solution for people who are looking to get out and do something fun and be able to have a family adventure, but still maintain all those good social distancing guidelines. So the beauty of it is that if you book online, you can drive up to our check-in kiosk and be able to just communicate, hey, we're the Jones family of four. we look up your booking on our system and say, go on in, and you drive your own car right into the park. There's no even hand-to-hand transaction that has to take place. So it's even safer than, you know, a Chick-fil-A drive-thru. And, you know, it's amazing because most of the time people, when they want to go out and do an attraction, the traditional method is you have to go find parking. Sometimes you pay for that parking. And then you wait in a long line to be able to get a wristband. And then you wait in another line to get into the park. And then once you're in the park, you wait in lines to go and do the things that you actually want to do. And with the safari, we skip all of that. You cruise up in your own car. You drive through at your own pace. And you're cruising through 2 miles of trails and seeing animals from around the world, stuff that you've probably only seen on TV, that you've maybe always wanted to go see in real life but can't afford going to Africa or Costa Rica. And then you exit the park, and as long as you feel safe and the people in your car are reasonably clean, you can actually take your mask off through the whole experience. And I think I might be wrong, but I think we're the only attraction that you can still do mask free because you're in the safety and cleanliness of your own car.
From the safety of your own vehicle that you know and love, you're there and comfortable with it in your driveway, as you would be if you were driving through the park at Wild Florida and seeing some of those animals. And some of the animals, just to let the listeners know, you've got, you know, giraffes and zebras and buffaloes and Florida panthers. And Sam, describe some of the things that you'll see as you kind of wind through the park in your car.
Yeah, so my favorite thing that we have is instead of just seeing one animal in an exhibit on our safari, you're going to see herds of animals. So the wildebeest herd, we've got 15, and they're kind of teenager aged wildebeest at this age, if you can imagine that. But 15 of these guys cruising through, and sometimes they're single file walking through the park. Other times they're on the move, like, you know, Simba saw on Lion King. And it's just fascinating to see these herds of animals interacting and acting as normal as they would out on the plains where they came from. We also have a collection of emu birds and ostrich birds that get right up close and personal, sometimes a little too close to people. And if you look at our social media, you'll see a lot of people starting to freak out as the ostrich approaches their car. But you know, lots of African hoof stock, and then also a wide range of North American deer, elk, bison, and then some really fun llamas. And, of course, we've got zebras and giraffes that you can see right from your car.
Let the listeners know we're talking with Sam Hottie, who's the co-owner down there at Wild Florida. And we're seeing this opportunity to kind of transport ourselves from our vacation destination to all of those places around the world and interacting with those animals. A lot of people think, when they think team photo of animals and wilderness and kind of the wild side of Florida, they think gators. You guys have those too. Talk a little bit about some of the things that people will see on the indigenous, predictable but also exciting side on the gators.
Yeah, I think really one of the best parts of our attraction is that you can see animals up close and personal, and we have a beautiful gator park where you can walk through and see crocodilians from all over the world and alligators and the crocodiles that call Florida home right up close and personal. You can actually hold them if you're brave enough to do it through one of our encounters. But the complement to that is being able to take an airboat tour, and we bring you out into the swamps, the headwaters of the Everglades, and you're seeing alligators do what alligators do best out in the wild, 100% natural eco tour. And our airboat captains are all master captains in the U.S. Coast Guard, and they're just awesome at being able to take people into some of the real skinny water where you see most of the wildlife and beautiful trees. It's just fascinating to see what Florida really used to look like 1,000 years ago. And of course, we're finding alligators out there and just seeing what they really act like in the wild. You know, I think to me, this really is the best time of year to come to Florida. I think a lot of people, you know, wait until the summertime when they have maybe a little more free time from school and things like that to bring their family down to Florida. But this time of year, the springtime in Florida is incredible. It's green. The weather is nice. Today's like a chill 75, 80 degrees outside right now. And everything on the swamp, all the plants and trees are just popping with growth and green, and the alligators and all the wildlife are really active this time of year. It's my favorite.
People I know, a lot of the listeners are itching to get out there for all of those reasons. Number one, it's that time of year as we head into what would be spring break, but also we've been pent up and kind of, you know, just hunkered down for the last year or so to get away, but then also kind of get up close and personal with nature, but still have some of those aspects of safety and social distance built in. You mentioned the word bravery, and before we let you go, we definitely want to hit on some of that for those people that wanted maybe like the individual encounters or the private tours or an opportunity to interact one-to-one with some of the animals. You guys have that too?
Yeah, we do. So a lot of people are really wanting more and are looking for that opportunity to get hands-on with something. And we're big believers in helping people make a connection with the animals that they love or that they have really only seen on the internet. And you know, what I found is that I'm actually in the business of connecting people to nature and to animals. And so seeing something from a distance is cool. Getting a picture of something is, you know, it's memorable. But when you get hands-on and interact with something, it becomes unforgettable. And that's the best part of our job, is seeing people walk away from an unforgettable experience with an animal that they've always wanted to be able to see up close and personal. So with our lemurs, sloths, alligators, our albino alligators,
wow,
and porcupines, and of course the giraffes, you're able to get up close and help train them, interact with them, enrich some of their day with some of the activities we do with them. And depending on just really how involved you want to get, we have a variety of encounters that allow people to have a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Making unforgettable memories and also some great vacation opportunities and activities as well down there at Wild Florida. The website is wildfloridaairboats.com. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com. And then, Sam, as we let you go, if there's anything that you can share social media-wise or other things that people should know about, maybe some events coming up that people could get in on or just ways to keep up with all the adventures.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Dane. And I definitely would say check us out on social media. As we approach May, we have one of our favorite times of year. We do an event called Gator Week. It's a lot like Shark Week that people see on TV, but it's our own version of Florida, you know, a little more Florida style with alligators. And we do a whole week of themed and interesting things that that we test out and disprove myths our gator park is free admission for anyone and everybody. 24th through the 29th, we'll have free admission that whole week.
We'll have links up at WGNradio.com. Encourage people to get down there all year round, but specifically in these times where Sam Hott has said is some of the best, right? As he is there helping people educate and making memories and bringing people down to Wild Florida. So Sam, we'll let you get back to it, but thanks so much for everything that you're doing, for sharing it, and for jumping on the show today.
Awesome. Thanks, Dane. Yeah. Great to talk with you.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Same. Thanks, Sam. Of course, you can go all the way to Wild Florida and get some stuff and have a little bit of fun. But also, there's a lot of fun to happen right here in Chicago with the food. Coming up right after the break, we're going to have a member of one of Chicago's first families of food. Joe Bonavolato is going to talk about the new beefless plant-based Bona beef. They said it couldn't be done. This is part science and cutting edge and part, of course, historic and legendary indigenous delicacies. So stay tuned for that. We'll have that right after the break. It's Dane here on 720 WGN. Come on, baby, don't you wanna go? 720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio, and excited, actually honored to have on the line with us a member of one of Chicago's true first families of food, the family behind maybe our most beloved indigenous delicacy, the original Italian beef. They are the originators of it over there at Bona Beef, the one and only Joe Bonavolato. Welcome to WGN.
Well, thanks, Dane. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, you got to. And the bat signal's on. When something big is happening in the world of Chicago and food, and specifically beef, you are the go-to guy. This is going to be happening tomorrow. You think about Chicago all around the country. It is a meat town. It is a meat and potatoes. It is a beef town. And you guys exemplify that more than anyone. But let's talk about this tomorrow at all the locations. There will be this one thing. It will be the beefless beef. What's going on?
Well, yep, I know. It's going to turn a lot of heads. So, you know, a lot of our customers are starting to become vegans or vegetarians. And we thought, you know, let's give this a try. And we've worked on it for a couple years. And we think people are going to like it. It's very tasty. It has the same flavor profile as our, you know, the original Italian beef. But it's a plant-based product served on our fresh, delicious French bread, topped with our either hot jardiniere or our mild jardiniere. And, we think, you know, we're going to be able to accommodate more folks than just the beef eaters.
You know what? And Bona Beef, of course, and the listeners will know this, so identified appropriately with the Italian beef. But you guys have really made an effort to be more things to more people, not only in this market, but some of those new locations. And I got to tell you, too, is you guys make a great burger. And for the people that may not know that, you do that for Vivian, our 10-year-old, like her favorite chicken tenders come from Bona Beef. So for a while now, right, you guys have been more than beef.
You know what? You're right, Dane. And over the last 10 or 15 years, we've expanded our menu. And, you know, we have 8 or 9 different salads on our menu, you know, made with fresh greens and topped with nice different vegetables. You know, we have our new antibiotic-free, all-natural chicken breast, which we marinate in-house and grill it to order, fresh, never frozen. And, you know, we've seen the trend over the years where people, you know, yes, they indulge in an Italian beef sandwich, one of our Bona Beefs, and, you know, maybe on a Tuesday or a Thursday. But, you know, Monday comes around, maybe they want to eat something a little less, you know, maybe something that they might perceive as being healthy.
And it is a family business, and you guys get together, and you know this thing didn't happen overnight. A lot of thought goes into everything that you guys do over there. But how did it happen where the family, was it maybe input from, from fans or from customers? How did the idea start?
So the idea started, we've seen the trends of people's eating habits. We sell probably the same amount of beef sandwiches per location as we always do. But we see that some of the other sales have grown, you know, with the salads or the chicken or the, you know, the pizzas we have. So we've seen that there was a trend. And our, you know, great people in our organization, they pitched this to us a couple years ago. And, you know, my brothers and I kind of said, what? No way. Absolutely not. And I give them a lot of credit for continuing on and you know, really developing this product to a point where we feel proud about it. We feel like, you know what, if you're a vegetarian or a vegan, you will enjoy this product. You'll get that satisfaction of that gravy that we're making with vegetable broth and a little olive oil with the same Italian spices as our original Italian beef sandwich. And you're going to get to indulge in a beefless sandwich, which, you know, they couldn't have if we didn't do this.
You'll let the listeners know we're talking with the one and only Joe Bonavolato, one of the founding first families of food when it comes to the original Chicago Italian beef. And for the people out there that are of that kind of interest area on the vegan side or vegetarian side, the process is important too, right? You've got great partners right here in Chicago. And so it is totally separate, right?
It is. So, we worked with the Upton Group and they developed a product and they educated us on the whole process of how they make their product, their plant-based product. We worked with our team to develop the gravy. And then in our kitchen, you know, which is a very important thing, is we're keeping it separate. So the utensils, we're not going to cross-contaminate the utensils so that they get true vegan or vegetarian experience.
Here's the other side of it, too. As you guys become more things to more people, whether it's the selections on the menus and the dishes available or the locations, as I travel around the country and talk with other food people, Bona Beef is really one of those great ambassadors for Chicago, Chicago identity, Chicago food, authenticity around the country. And I see you guys as positioned to be one of those that can be almost everywhere. So maybe all around the country at some day in the not too distant future, but you have new locations all the time. Let's see what's going on with some of the new spots.
Yeah, so we're excited to be opening our 25th location. It'll be in Countryside, Illinois, obviously, on LaGrange Road in Plainfield. We've been renovating the site for probably about 3 months, and we hope to open it beginning of June. And then we're going all the way out to Lakemore on Route 12. And we're breaking ground any day now, and we hope to get that location up open late fall, probably. And then we're looking at other markets. As you know, we have one in Indiana. We're looking at a couple other sites in Indiana. We're looking at, you know, Wisconsin to grow there. And we're very excited to announce our first location, you know, really out of the area, out of the Chicago metro area, in Colorado.
What?
We'll be opening, yep. We'll be opening in a food hall, which is a little different. So it's not our full menu, but, you know, we're going to have our signature Italian bone of beef. We're going to have Italian sausage. We're going to have our burgers. We're going to have our Chicago hot dogs, you know, our delicious French fries, shakes. And we're very excited about that. We'll be opening sometime in early June.
It is good to have some positive stuff in a year that had had so much negativity, especially on the restauranting and food side. And you got to know this, Joe, is that as excited as I am for things that you do, is that your success is Chicago's success. And when people have from around the country, when they try stuff and they get introduced to the Italian beef, and to know that you guys, the capable hands, are behind it, it's a gratifying thing. So we're excited for all the success. We're excited for the vegan. You know, I'm not a vegan, right? You know, but I understand there's people out there, right? And so for all those locations, they'll be able to enjoy that too, and we're excited for that. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com, and can't thank you enough for helping to break some of that news with us here on WGN and jumping on the show tonight.
Well, thank you, Dane, and all your listeners. You know, we're excited to promote this, and, you know, hopefully you'll enjoy it. So looking forward to meeting the vegetarian and vegan community.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. They'll enjoy it. I know you guys are going to get along great.
Thank you, Dane.
I'm not exactly positive of that, but I am excited to try it. And you know it's going to be good. For them to come out with it, it is going to be convincing. And the advancements on that have been to the point where it's difficult to tell. But think about that. Something as Chicago and as non-vegetarian as the Italian beef is going to be cutting edge and being available on that side of things, I think, is going to be exciting. When we come back from this break, we're going to keep it for the next couple segments in sort of the world of Chicago classics. Rainbow Cone, they have that location, 92nd and West. And of course, you know them from Lollapalooza, Taste of Chicago, The Truck. They have a new location that is coming out to the Lombard area. And so many people are excited about this, an opportunity to have a little bit of Chicago immortality and history and some great ice cream and have it out there. It's coming up in May. And we're going to talk with Lynn Sapp about that, part of that founding family, when we come back from the break. And keep it here, too, because a little bit after 6 o'clock, this guy, Lance Avery, the man who brought you pork jerky, has cracked the code. The word on the street is he's cracked the code for the Chicago hot dog, all those different ingredients that make it up. He's got a one-stop shop for that, and you can just go ahead and apply it. And apparently, well, we'll hear it from him. So keep it here. We're going to talk about that when we come back. It's Dane on 720 WGN. WGN 720 WGN is Dane here with you high atop Chicago Skyline Studio on, I don't want to say it's the eve of really anything, but it's the kind of time where we're getting into what we hope will be the summer months. It's starting to get a little bit warmer. We're starting to think about all the things that we miss or have missed when we were kind of stuck in our houses during the pandemic, and some of the things, Chicago classics, that we're going to be getting back to. And we were talking a little bit about some. We just had Joe Bona on talking about the beefless beef. So there's new, different, cutting edge, and maybe even healthier ways to enjoy some of those Chicago classics coming up after 6. We're going to be talking with Lance Avery about the Chicago sauce where you can replicate the ingredients of the classic Chicago hot dog. But on the line, I was excited to have, when you think about desserts, that you know, I think really are the physical embodiment of Chicago, that are beloved by Chicago. Certainly that location, 92nd and Western, places like Lollapalooza, Taste of Chicago, The Truck that is there. We were there, got some pictures last summer, and she is on the line, part of that founding family, Lynn Sapp from Rainbow Cone. Welcome to WGN.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. We're honored to have you. How does it feel, first off, before we get into some of the exciting news and ways that people are going to be able to do it, how does it feel to be the representative, the ambassador for something so awesome?
You know, it's really a gift. And I always focus on protecting people's memories and creating new ones, because after 95 years of business, that's what we do. You know, that ice cream cone is started in 1926, and not many people can say that. And it's the people's cone, and it's their memories. And that's, I'm very, very honored to be able to speak about it and carry on the tradition as a third generation person of the original family.
Yeah, it's a big responsibility. It's got to be, it's a lot of fun, but also, like you said, a big responsibility. But you talk about some of the genesis of this and how it's gotten to the point back 1926 is when it started out. At what point did you as a family realize this was something like huge, that it was going to be something that would not only be a big part of your family, but really kind of define you guys?
Well, you know, it started in 1926, and they went right into the Depression and then the war. And my dad participated in World War II, and it became part of the community, and people would come to find out news. So we've always been that, you know, community participant, and people would come from all over the city to go to Rainbow Cone. And, you know, when you stand in line and you're scooping a cone for how many hours and you're exhausted, and people start saying, well, my grandfather took us here as kids and it's such a happy memory, then you just kind of take a breath and go, you know, this is worth it, especially at things like Taste of Chicago and, you know, Lollapalooza, and the lines are really long, and you go, you know, just keep going.
Yeah.
So we really do appreciate it. And I still eat them and I still love them.
Well, of course, you have probably, I'm sure, some sort of a super employee discount in effect, and maybe you're obligated to do that as well. You have that iconic location, and of course, for the festivals, but you also have the truck. The truck was out there. We saw it out in, I don't know, it might have been Oak Brook over the summer. I know it made a few different stops. And you're right, Lynn, and let the listeners know we're talking with Lynn Sapp of Rainbow Cone, is the lines go all over the place. I wanted to share, too, is this is going to be, you know, all of that destination, that pilgrimage that people make to the original location. And now there's going to be one in Lombard. I got to tell you, being a resident of the Lombard area, there is so much excitement. Also, you know, you can't miss it, right? Because it's a building. It's entirely pink with white polka dots. Talk a little bit about the excitement on your side for what this is going to be out there starting in May.
Well, you know, who knew that a pandemic was going to lead us into trucks and be able to bring our product out to the suburbs, and watching the response going out to Darien, like I said, and going out to the different places and meeting the truck. And I'm standing there looking at the lines and watching people chat in the lines. And I was like, this is what it's all about. And I was so grateful. And now that we get to go to Lombard, you know, we're going to be on 498 East Roosevelt Road in Lombard. And like you said, the big pink building, my grandmother loved the color pink. And, you know, it's very attractive, and you can see it coming down the road. You see this big building, and you walk in, and it's like taking you away into this great area and, you know, going to eat a cone, eat some donuts, eat some special treat, to bring it together to talk and just take time to just relax.
I'm sure that the Lombard Visitor and Tourism Bureau is probably going to add that into one of their kind of tourist attraction destinations for the entire community. Talk about it when it's coming up. I think it's May 5th is when it's going to open. And then what is going to be there? Certainly all of those favorites, those classics. But for the people that are going to be there, what can they get at that location?
Well, it's the original Rainbow Cone, so the traditional cone is still there. But we have added things. We've got room and innovations, and so we have added things like R&B, so you can get a mix in with soft serve. You can get donuts. But we do have rainbow cake rolls. We have rainbow cakes. We have special treats. You can get banana splits like you can at 9232 Western. But, you know, you can get them too. So a lot of the things that originated at 9233 Western Avenue since 1926 are at the Lombard location, and some extra ones, and the big one being donuts. So when we were kids out on the south side, there was a restaurant called the Branding Iron, and it was on 95th Street, and they made little donuts. And before you ate dinner, you got this little donut treat. And it was just so fantastic. So hoping, you know, they created donuts there, and hopefully that will bring back some creation, and you can add to that. But don't forget the original Rainbow Cone.
No one's going to forget it. No one is going to forget it. Let the listeners know we're talking with Lynn Sapp, part of that founding family for Rainbow Cone, as they start their new location. It's going to come up. So as we let you go, Lynn, talk about it. I think it's May 5th, right? And where can people get more information? And on that day, what's going to be happening? Is there going to be – I know there'll be a long line. I think we've established that. But what else will go on?
Well, we're going to have a ribbon cutting, and if you go to our website at originalrainbowcone.com or rainbowcone.com, you can join up on our contest and enter to have free ice cream for a year for three people. And then we'll have different things coming up. The day of May 5th, we cut the ribbon at 9 o'clock, and we're opening, I think, at 11 and that time. And then we'll just be there all day celebrating coming in.
Oh, it's going to be great. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com as well for the original location, the website for people to find out. And hopefully there'll be some lucky people that'll win a lot of ice cream over the course of the year. And can't thank you enough for everything you and your family have done and have meant to Chicago, the Chicagoland area, to dentists, right, too, on the cavity side, maybe. You're helping to, you know, you're just inspiring people.
Well, moderation is key, but comfort is also important.
That's right.
Having a little bite of comfort with the Rainbow Cone.
Yep. So there'll be less moderation in Lombard coming up on May 5th at Rainbow Cone. And so thanks again, Lynn, for everything you guys are doing. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Appreciate it. We hope to see everybody soon.
We will. All right. Thanks, Lynn. Wow, that's great. So here's the thing. Ben Anderson, you are an aficionado of the flighted ways, right? And when it comes to some of the things that people are looking forward to on, you know, just to getting back to it. And some of that is that aeronautic stuff. And there's a lot of great things to fly over. One of them, of course, the lakefront here, maybe up in Oshkosh, maybe Lima, Peru, maybe the new Rainbow Cone location. So talk about one of these things that you're doing. We've got a few minutes to highlight it.
Yeah. So I'm getting back to working air shows again and getting up in the air a little bit, as some of our listeners know. But I've got my first one of the year coming up in about 3 weeks, March 14th and 15th. I will be at the Illinois Valley Regional Airport in Peru, Illinois, for the annual TBM reunion. And the TBM was a torpedo bomber in World War II. And these guys like to get together. And it's the most in one location since they flew in active service every year. So usually we get around 10 to 14 of them all in one spot. And they have all types of other stuff. There's an evening activities on Friday. The 14th, they're going to have live music and aeroshell aerobatic team, which is performed here at the Air and Water Show before. They'll be down there performing. There's going to be live music, food. And then Saturday, there will be aircraft that have served in veteran service, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, that will be flying and performing all throughout the day with a highlighted veterans parade around noon. There at the airport.
Certainly, these are opportunities to be able to see some of these great sort of legendary aircraft that have been such a big part of our history and a lot of the conflicts and in a lot of different ways. But for you as a guy who's involved with this, what is it about? Because the Air and Water Show here in Chicago, and I know Oshkosh is even big. I mean, it's a huge event. The entire city gets together. Everybody gets out. Everybody loves it. What do you feel? And what is it? Is it the appeal because these things, you know, they're amazing, expensive and fast and just very cool to look at? Is it the educational side, the history that people are seeing? Why do people love them so much?
I think it's a combination of all of the above. You know, just to see, smell, you know, in some cases feel when you get so close to some of these aircraft, you know, what it was like, you know, back in that era, and just to see what some of our you know, just outstanding veterans, you know, used to fight for this country.
It's great to see the things up close in person. You think about where that aircraft has been and what it has done. It is coming up May 14th and the 15th down in Lima, Peru. It is not that far away. It's maybe 45 minutes, maybe an hour.
It's about an hour and 15.
Of the things that I always find, I want to get your viewpoints on it, and you've talked about some of these aircraft, and many of them are vintage. Some are state-of-the-art, you know, some of these things, you know, stealth bombers and fighter planes, but some of these, you get there and you're almost amazed at the simplicity of them, that these were the things that freedom depended on, that our military depended on, whether it's the fighters or the bombers. As I remember going to the Museum of Science and Industry and seeing a moon lander, and it was basically a calculator with a car battery like taped to it. Sometimes you're like, whoa, really? This was it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's remarkable seeing some of the technology that they used, and you know, or lack thereof, compared to now. You know, like the graphing calculator now could do more than half the fleet, you know, back in 45. So it's pretty impressive.
And an opportunity to see and kind of interact with some of those veterans. And they say it all the time with the honor flights is that group is, you know, there's just less and less of them. You said you're going to get like maybe 14. That seems like a pretty good number, because I know we're losing more every day.
That's, yeah, it's pretty remarkable. And it's one of the reasons I'm so involved with Warbirds of America and the flight and, you know, keeping these things flying. It's just, you know, the tribute and salute to those veterans and some of the stories that they share is just remarkable. And to see them get in one of these aircraft, you know, for the first time after, you know, 50, 60 years.
What's that like for them? I mean, for some
emotional.
Of those, you know,
so emotional.
I don't know if it's like riding a bike where you feel like, you know, that it's like, oh, that it really doesn't, it maybe takes you right back to that time. Is that because for them, probably we talk about for you. And then, of course, people are visitors and fans who are going to see it. Probably for those guys, it's the same.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like I mentioned, emotional is the thing I see most frequently. But yeah, some of these guys are just sharp as a tack. And to see them just talk about, oh, yeah, right here is where we, you know, would do this and kind of finagle, you know, all these little details.
Gotta wiggle
the lever. And they give you these details that they, you know, knew back, you know, back in 44, but it's pretty awesome.
It's all about history. We're hitting history in a lot of different ways. Certainly our great veterans and the aircraft as well, but also the rainbow cone, the history there going back to 1926.
And just to put it out there, if people want more information on the event, tbmreunion.org is where you can go for all the details.
We'll have links up at wgnradio.com for that. tbm.org. Coming up right after the news, we're going to have Lance Avery talking about the historic Chicago hot dog and the way that you can have a one-stop shop to go ahead and make it taste the way it should. So keep it here. It's Dane on 720 WGN.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town.
That's right. 720 Chicago, WGN. It is Dane here with you until 7 p.m. And we talk about things that you know, that are Chicago. And there are some people, some negative people out there that may say, you know, whether it's rampant crime or political corruption or great architecture, right? Maybe sports fans, a lot of things that are Chicago. If you had to think of one food that may be the thing that people think about, it may be the Chicago hot dog. And when it comes to cracking that code, like, what is it? What does it mean? And how do you share that with the world in a language that is universal? You have to bring in, you know, one of America's. He's a chef. He's an educator. He's an entrepreneur, an inventor, a visionary, if you will. And he's one of those guys behind, let's say, advancements in jerky and sausage, and now cracking the code for the Chicago hot dog and its toppings is the one and only Lance Avery. Lance, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, it is good to have you on. You know, you and I, when we had talked a little bit earlier, and I liken you not unlike, let's say, a Thomas Edison, right? You know, when he could have stopped at maybe a lesser known invention. He invented a lot of things, right? He didn't just stop with one thing. And that is where you kind of are with all the things that you've done in the past, and people know and love you for the jerky side of things, and not only jerky personality, right? You know, the jerky that people know, love, and enjoy, as well as the sausages. But you didn't stop there, right? What is this? Talk a little bit about the Chicago sauce, the inspiration behind it. Like, what, were you lying awake in bed and you're like, I got to come up with something, and here it is.
Well, yeah, thanks for that's a great question. We actually, it all started back in 2011, and there's excuse me, there's a shopping cart race called the excuse me Chiditarod, and basically it was me and a couple buddies. We galvanized a grill on the shopping cart race, and you basically go from bar to bar, and you find these clues, and it's a big fundraiser for the Chicago Food Depository. But we thought it was kind of fun to grill out some sausages and some hot dogs. And I was like, well, wait, you know, like, it'd be really cool to do the Chicago hot dog. But the hard thing is, if we're running in this race, we can't really, you know, throw all seven toppings together. And that's when I was like, why don't I just blend them together? I threw all seven ingredients in the blender and basically made like a condiment smoothie. And what I realized is, like, actually, I mean, yeah, it doesn't have the texture, but it does have the flavor. And yeah, like, this was, you know, back in 2011, and I just put it in my back pocket of like, you know what, someday I might do this. And then, it was around this time last year, you know, everything shut down, travel stopped, and I found like just a ton of time on my hands because I wasn't traveling.
We've been breaking new ground today in a bunch of ways. We just announced, you know, the beefless Italian beef. You know, you think you can't do things. You think things can't be done. It's just mind-blowing, right? And the idea that you can have all of those legendary toppings and kind of put them in one thing. So Lance, if you describe it, like, what does it look like? Because part of the, just I think the appeal of the Chicago dog is that whole sort of, you know, all the different things on there. But if you closed your eyes, if you looked away, if you will, right, maybe it would taste the same. But what does it look like? What will people see when they get it?
I mean, it looks like, it has the consistency of like a chunky salsa. So what I wanted to do was really show that there's still all the ingredients in there, kind of in there in a wholer form. But then, you know, then it also has, you know, mustard is in there. So it has a yellowish tint to it. So it doesn't look like salsa. It's more yellowish. But you can see the diced tomatoes. You can see the onions. You can see the pickles. You can really taste the sport pepper in there. It's got a little bit of heat. And it's, you know, I ran this across some neighborhood buddies of mine, one of which grew up, his father actually owned two hot dog stands. And I used his palate off of what I, you know, what I've had, but then his palate. And he really scrutinized it. We went back and forth many versions until it was what we both felt was the right flavor.
Well, you have that background, and you're a great kind of leading person on the flavor side and the taste side and the culinary side, and so you have what it takes. You know, it's one thing, people could just have an idea. You could decide, hey, it's dark, I'm going to invent the light bulb. That doesn't mean that you're equipped with the tools to do it, but you are. And so you've gotten people that have said, hey, you know what, you're not only on the right track, you are there. And so let's talk about it before we let you go, like where people can kind of get it, where they can get more information. I know that you can get it at a couple stores. I know you're working hard at that, but also online as well.
I mean, we sell online on our website, bigforkbrands.com, but we also we got into Tony's. I talked to the buyer, or he just looked at the label and he's like, yeah, we can do this, we can sell it. So he picked it up without even trying it. And then I did have a meeting with Valley Produce. They're going to pick it up. Sunset Foods is going to pick it up. And I just got information that Plum Market is going to pick it up as well. And then there's also a lot of other smaller stores within Chicago, like the Dill Pickle Co-op, L&M, Paulina's Meat Market, Green Grocer, Olivia's, and local foods. They all have it as well.
It's got to be gratifying to when you have people that say, like, I just love the idea. If it is what it says and they trust you, they know you, and they're like, this is great. I mean, to have a product that's already got a head start, right? It's the kind of thing that people want.
Yeah, we're really excited. You know, we launched it at a good time. You know, it's springtime now. People are going to be grilling out. We're really excited about it. We can't wait to see what else we can do with it.
Is the time of year people are going to want to have this. You know, it's just so tedious to like to chop up all those other ingredients and put them on things. And if you can find a way to streamline the entire process, you know, that's advancement. That's cutting edge. That's the future. And I think if you're trying to kind of present the Chicago hot dog to a greater, wider world, if you will, if you just had one jar as opposed to all seven of those things, I think you're way ahead of the game. So as we let you go, give information like social media wise. We're going to have links up at WGNradio.com for people to get a hold of you and kind of tap into what it is you're doing. Keep up with the adventures.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, once again, website, bigporkbrands.com, or, you know, we're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So
Lance Avery, visionary, founder, inventor, a guy, man about town, right? Making the world a better place. Thanks so much for everything you're doing. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
And thank you for taking the time.
All right. Yeah. Wow. This is exciting stuff. All right. When we come back from this break, we're going to have Matt McMillan. It is that time of year again. Mother's Day is coming up. There is a lot of things happening. People look towards Cooper's Hawk, one of our favorite places on the planet. Plus, they've got some exciting things with one of our good friends, Richard Blaze, as well. We're going to talk about a few different things, including a new product. So keep it here. It's Dane on 720 WGN. WGN, it is Dane here with you, high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio. And coming up, we've got a lot of things happening. One is Mother's Day, plus some new products from Cooper's Hawk and some ways to celebrate and get out there. Plus, one of our favorite chef friends is going to be battling it out. And, of course, Cooper's Hawk is in the middle of it, along with this guy, Chef Matt McMillan from Cooper's Hawk. Matt, welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dane, how are you?
I am okay. How are you?
Awesome. Awesome.
I am excited not only to talk about some of the things, but also you have shared, been prolific on social media. You have done great on the fitness and sort of that health regimen.
Thank you.
No, I'm serious. You have been an inspiration. I'm sure you get a ton of it and that feedback back, but congratulations. It's been great to see, and it's inspired a lot of people. I know that.
Thank you so much. Yeah. COVID was crazy. And back in May, I felt it was time to get on the health kick and, get back in shape. So, it's been a phenomenal journey. And, the response from people has been tremendous. So thank you. Appreciate it.
As people get that opportunity to spend time with their family and get out there and sort of celebrate, and I'm sure you've seen this too, all the great food and all the great wine is that people celebrate with Cooper's Hawk too. You know, they celebrate at the locations, they celebrate with the food, and you guys have done this. I got to say for the listeners too, when it comes to being able to have those meal kits, and this is from a lot of experience. I've worked a lot of virtual events and virtual pickup things and a lot of different things. And you guys really take that seriously. That pickup stuff has been amazing. Not only the instructions on how to best enjoy and prepare it, but also the food itself and the way that it is. Talk a little bit about that, if you could. Was that a hard learning curve? Everybody sort of learned on the fly with that, but you guys have done great.
No question. You know, back when COVID started last year, and you know, we were so focused on, you know, everything with the restaurants and our team members and feeding everyone, and then all of a sudden we were like, oh my gosh, Easter is around the corner and our restaurants are going to be closed. Like, how do we feed people? And we got a kit together and we practiced everything, you know, in the restaurants, in the ovens, in ovens at home. And it's like writing a book or like a cookbook and making sure that the recipes work, you know. So we want to make it easy for people. And, you know, we stubbed our toe in the beginning. We were doing hot pickups and we quickly discovered that, you know, just doing things seared and you could warm them up at home in the oven was a lot easier in the restaurants, but then also just a higher quality, to have at home, you know, versus getting something hot and having to warm it up. So it's a lot fresher and such. So, which leads us to Mother's Day, you know, here we are once again, you know, a year later.
Well,
crazy.
Give people a little insight to that so they can go ahead and not only have the food that is going to be there and some selections that are perfect for the occasion, but also some etched bottles too. So that's a collector's item. You almost hate to open it and drink it, right? But then again, you've got that bottle as well.
Yeah, but it's so good. It's so good. So we're doing a pickup for four people. It's $159.99, and you start off with, you know, pretzel bread and butter. We've got a spring salad. Everyone is getting Parmesan crusted medallions, and then you've got a choice of a second protein. So pistachio crusted grouper, Parmesan crusted chicken, a bourbon barbecue pork, and then Mary's potatoes, garlic green beans, and then last but not least, this lemon butter cake that we'll actually be doing as a chef recommendation in May as well. So really, really, it's a great meal. And then we've got a host of things that you could add on. So we've got the etched bottles. We have two different etched bottles. You know, one is etched with some words that say queen, goddess, heroine, and mother. And then if moms were flowers, I'd pick you. We've got, you know, they're Cabernet, Malbec, and Merlot blends from California. They're fantastic. And then we also have, you know, we do wine pairings, obviously, with all of our dishes on the menu, but we recommend Camille Proud as well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to celebrate with some Prosecco. And then you can also get some truffles. We'll have boxes of truffles ready, boxes of six for $15. You get an assortment of different truffles. So, you know, take care of mom. We'll do most of the work for you. You know, you just have to heat it up at home. But we have really simple directions, you know, or make a reservation in the restaurants because we are open.
Yep.
But, you know, depending on if you've got your shots and want to come out or you want to stay at home, and, you know, we can do that too for you.
Yeah.
Make it easy.
It's been one of those things where, as part of the new normal, I think there's going to be some things that are going to stick around. And I think the meal kits are going to be something that people have loved. You guys are great at it. And people are going to enjoy. And you look at, of course, it's Cooper's Hawk. It's winery, 500,000 members in the wine club. So it's not broke, don't fix it. But the food side is really strong. But even on the beverage side, you guys branched out. I have gotten an opportunity to try some of these seltzers. And, you know, with the whole White Claw phenomenon, everybody is out there trying.
Spectacular.
Well, people trying these. But these seltzers, these seltzers are really good. So talk a little bit about what that is and how even people that, you know, it isn't wine, right? It's from Cooper's Hawk, but it's something totally new.
Yeah, so they're a hard seltzer. We came out with the first one, which was the Meyer Lemon. And Meyer Lemon is just, it's not quite as sour as regular lemon, but it has this beautiful floral aroma. And it is just, it's perfect. And it comes in the 750, you know, a large format bottle. I love it as a cocktail mixer. You know, I typically don't drink them.
Wow.
They're absolutely delicious. But as a mixer to mix with hard alcohol and, but they're super low in calories. So it's only 100 calories for 8 ounce pour, you know, very low in alcohol, about 4.5% ABV. And then only 3 grams of sugar for an 8 ounce pour. I mean, so they're, you know, as far as calories go, they're really low, but they're absolutely delicious and really well balanced. Great for the summer. And then we just came out with pear. So again, we have two, and we'll probably come out with some more, but it's just a really nice addition to the wines that we do at Cooper's Hawk. And if you want to, you know, save some calories and go on the light side, you know, start with a seltzer.
They're very light too. That's the kind of thing that they just aren't too overpowering, too oversweet or any of that stuff. They're really cool. Here's the thing, and we mentioned the 500,000 in the wine club, so obviously doing a lot of things right. There's a lot of reasons to become members, and one of which is the collaborations, the events, the travel and all that. And one of our good friends, you know, over at Trib Tower, you and I and Richard Blaze was there. And so again, you've got him together. He is one of those great personalities. So fill people in. And this is so for members, awesome. Right?
He's so awesome. Yeah. So early on, you know, in COVID, we brought him on to just do like a kind of a sit by the fire with Richard, like in his backyard. And we've done a bunch of events, but through COVID, we've done a couple. And we were trying to come up with something really cool. So we came up with Battle of the Blaze. So we're going to have a meal kit for two. It's $69.99. We've got a great menu. But the cool thing we're going to do is we are going to pick three members who are going to battle on the right on the Zoom to see who's the winner. And we're going to give those guests like a little box with some secret ingredients. So everybody's going to get the food, but then these guests are going to get some ingredients to use. And Richard is going to, you know, have fun with them and all the guests obviously can watch along, but these three guests will kind of battle it out for the winner. There might be a prize, and they'll have to use those ingredients. And Richard will pick the winner, and he'll guide them along. But Richard's going to pick the winner of who uses the ingredients the best, who has the most fun, who's the most passionate. You know, and he's crazy, so. The winner's really going to be whoever really just goes nuts and has a great time with it.
Oh, he is crazy. He's made you like fireside chat. It'd be a liquid nitrogen chat, I think, would be the one that he would do.
Oh, he's so awesome.
And it is coming up. The information on all the details is chwinery.com. We'll have links at wgnradio.com as well. Entries must be submitted by May 3rd. So this is coming up, and another great reason to join the wine club. And Matt McGillis, before we let you go, give information. Is there any social media or other things people can do to keep up with the adventures you guys are doing?
Oh, hit us on Instagram. You know, we're really upping our Instagram. You know, I think when we went into COVID, we had like 30,000 followers. And, you know, Ray and our team who do all of our social media have really done an amazing job. You know, we do a ton of stuff from my house. We do stuff all over the restaurants and really upping our game. So, you know, hit us at Cooper's Hawk, you know, hashtag CH Winery on Facebook. You know, we're doing a ton of stuff. We have over 100, I think we're at like 140,000 now on Instagram, which is crazy. You know, so we're going for a million.
you're gonna get there, because I think one of the things with the magic for Cooper's Hawk is that interaction, that connection with their fans, with the members. Not only great food and great wine, that's a constant. You gotta have that, but it's that great connection, that camaraderie, that community, right, that you have. So Matt McMillan, thanks so much for all that you guys do, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
100%. Yeah, you got it. You got it. Thanks for having me.
All right. You bet. We are going to take a break. When we come back, Louisa Chu is going to join us. She's going to talk a little bit about the Takeout Awards. We're going to talk about that. Her take on some of these Chicago classics and the ways that they're being kind of interpreted and some of the things she's looking forward to getting back to as we all look to get back to what is hopefully summer and post-pandemic on the food side. So keep it here. It's Dane on 720 WGN. WGN, it is Dane here with you until 7 p.m. here high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio. And I can see when I look at a city that is ready to get back to some of the things that they know and love, some beloved classics and some new things. And, of course, recognizing, you know, some of the great accomplishments and work that has gone on to get us from through all the trials and tribulations of the pandemic to what we hope will be a brighter 2021. On the line with us, excited to have a friend. She is an acclaimed writer, a podcaster, personality, chef, a visionary, right, in a bunch of different ways, certainly an historian and student of history, as well as enthusiast of food. Louisa Chu, welcome to WGN.
Thank you, Dane. Boy, what a setup. Lower the expectations, please.
No, the expectations are high, and as always, you will deliver. And I don't know if you got a chance to hear some of the things that are out there, but, you know, just like in baseball, right, there's purists out there that don't want any changes, right? They want to have it be the way that it is. And earlier in the program, we talked with Joe Bona about the beefless beef. I don't know. Yep. So there are some out there in the food world that would say that that is blasphemy. And then, of course, Lance Avery talked about this conglomeration of all the ingredients that can make up, you know, really the, at least the flavor profile of the Chicago hot dog. Where do you come down on this?
Well, as regular listeners of the Chewing podcast that you kindly plug, no, I am PVPO, personally vegan, professionally omnivorous. So I am all in on the beefless beef. Don't get me wrong. I love a good classic Chicago style Italian beef. I like it. I don't like it too wet, but you know, I like the hot jardinere. And so yeah, I love it all, you know, and I'm so excited that to try the bone up beefless beef first thing tomorrow morning at a secret location. I won't give away which location I'm going to. So yeah, you know, I mean, cause all those flavors, it's kind of like the future that, you know, harkens back to the past, like making the best of what they could back then, and now, like with these spices, and then again the hot jardinere, that to me makes it. So, like with the, you know, bread and all that, it's like the beef is almost an afterthought in a way for me.
Well, they've gotten, you know, and when I say they, like the wider scientific food world pushing the envelope, is they've gotten really good at making things that can mimic not only the flavors, but the textures. Do you feel, Louisa, that having, you know, it was one thing if just a random company has it in your grocer's freezer, it says Chicago Italian beef, but it's all plant-based, but to have Bona do it, right? Because they know, and they wouldn't bring it out if they didn't feel it was good.
Totally. And Papa Joe tasted it, and the Boner Brothers, they worked with, Dane, you know, Upton's Natural, which is a Chicago-based vegan company. Yep. And so they've got experience making the seitan, which some people may mistakenly pronounce as Satan. but you know, it is It is an ancient product, originally invented in China, you know, washed gluten. And so there's long history. And I don't think they would bring it out. It's, you know, I mean, there are other ones, but it's like, yeah, for sure that they've gone out there and, you know, put their stamp on there. And totally what you're saying, it's so I'm actually going to be doing a story about what they call synthetic meat. It doesn't sound great, I got to say. But I got to say, it's kind of like the Tesla of, like, fake meat, because they keep improving it.
What's better, you know, synthetic or fake, Louisa? Which would you rather?
I don't know. That's why everybody calls it fake meat, though, right?
Yeah, I guess.
But it's like they update it, and you don't even know, and then the next time you try it, you're like, wait a minute, this is actually better, you know? I mean, so there's a whole brand new world of the meatless meat that's out there, and I'm excited to try it.
So when you look at what you're, and one thing I love about you, and I think what the listeners love about you, is you are full, you encompass the entire range. You'll be there moderating, you know, a panel with Jonathan Gold, you know, Pulitzer Prize winning writer. You'll also be, you know, digging deep into the deep dish and stuffed pizza mysteries of the origins of Nancy. You'll do all those things. And so as we talk about things that maybe from the fine dining perspective, pedestrian, but below loved, like the beef or the hot dog. What is Louisa Chu looking forward to as we get into more things kind of opening up? What kind of things are you saying? Like, I can't wait to do that again.
I was thinking about this, and I, of course, like a lot of people, have the fantasy. Like, what is the first thing I'm going to do, like, after, in the after times, right? And for me, because I try to be very inclusive and diplomatic of all the great food and drink that we've got in Chicago and the suburbs, you know, the greater Chicago area, is I love it all. What I'm really missing is being able to, like, pop in and out of so many different places. And, you know, I mean, the great thing is that so many, as you know, most of the restaurants and bars in the area have been open doing takeout this whole time. I miss being able to, like, you know, see a place and, like, okay, I'm just going to pull over because I got, like, great parking, or, you know, kind of close to Chicago-style parking, you know, and, like, I could just sort of, you know, run in for a second and check it out. And now it does have to be a little bit of a plan. You have to call ahead, make sure they're open, because, like, everything changes every day, you know, what their hours are. So I miss that kind of, like, you know, random serendipitous Chicago food and drink experience that has had to be, you know, understandably a little bit more controlled, you know. So I love all of it.
Let the listeners know we're talking with acclaimed writer, podcaster, personality, Louisa Chu. And in this, as we kind of look back, and we're going to talk about the Chicago Tribune Takeout Awards and people enjoy, and that's a place where they get a lot of the access to your work. As we kind of look back to a time where there's certainly been some great stories to tell. There are certainly some great and very well-deserved honorees on the award side, but there's been a lot of, like, pain, and there is a lot of, you know, just, you know, missing places, you know, that have kind of fallen by the wayside because of the pandemic. How do you approach the awards? Talk a little bit about it, what people are going to see. And then, like, what is the perspective of an awards after something like this?
Yeah, well, you know, we're still in it, as you know. You know, I mean, so traditionally, we did like Best Chef of the Year awards with our Critics' Choice Awards, and like Best Restaurant. And that was, you know, speaking of awards night, right? It was pretty traditional. This past year, we discussed, like, should we even do it? And I was a real big champion of, yeah, like I said, I mean, like, in the hospitality industry, bars and restaurants, you have a lot of people, you know, from chefs and bartenders and, the everyday essential worker who a lot of times took public transportation throughout this pandemic to work for minimum wage and to keep open as long as they could. And so we recognized them in two phases. One was the Critics' Choice Awards, which was kind of a, you know, new category instead of just, like, you know, Best Chef or Best Restaurant. We had categories like the most important to me, which was Person of the Year. I wanted to honor everybody, the essential hospitality worker. If I could have said, everybody, you know all you are, who all of you are out there. I so appreciated them being there when I was ready to show up, because we never stopped going at the Trib. I kept spending the Tribune money as much as I could and tipping well. And then we also had the Reader's Choice Awards where we had nominees, and the readers showed up too to recognize their favorite places that, you know, kept them going through this really, really dark year.
I think it's so important. It's so important to be able to take that time and recognize, you know, some of the positives that can be taken from this and be able to shine a light on those great personalities and those places, right? And what it meant to a lot of people, not only people in the industry too, but to kind of take that wider world and be able to bring it to the, you know, your readers and your listeners and all the people that enjoy what it is you do. And, Luis, as we let you go, let the listeners know where we'll have links, of course, up at WGNradio.com where they can read you, where they can hear you, where they can get more of the Luis Chu that they want.
I so appreciate it. And please join us for the free Takeout Awards event tomorrow night. Register at chicagotribune.com/takeout event. Suggested donation benefits Dish Roulette. And we're trying to meet some micro grants. So I so appreciate it, Dane. Thank you so much.
All right. We're going to do that. We'll have links up, Luis, and we'll let you get back to your Sunday. And thanks for jumping on the show tonight.
Thank you.
All right, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're heading up. We talked with Matt McMillan a little bit about Mother's Day stuff coming up. It is going to be Cinco de Mayo, and a man who walks the walk, who lives the entire experience, and I think he may be calling us from Mexico as we speak, you know, with Sacred and all the things that he does to carry the torch as an ambassador for Mezcal and the families that make it. Lou Bank is going to join it, so keep us here on 720. It's Dane. Oh, 720. WGN, it is Dane here with you again, high atop Chicago Skyline Studio until 7 p.m. And on the line with us, verifiably, we have one of those guys. I think it's on his business card, Ramblin' Man. He is certainly one of those rambling all over the place, carrying the torch for great families, great mezcal, and just amazing causes at the same time. The one and only Lou Bank. Lou, welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dane. Thanks for having me on.
So first off, the question that we always have to ask, and the answer could be, well, it could be in the middle of Jalisco, or it could be in Mount Prospect. Where are you right now?
Well, it wouldn't be Mount Prospect. It might be St. Charles. But in actual fact, it's funny, Dane, I was supposed to get on a plane at 6:40, just 8 minutes ago.
But you canceled your airfare to be on this show, and I thank you. The listeners do as well.
Exactly that. It's funny. I had an 8-day trip to Mexico that had been put off for a year and change, as you well know. And like all of my canceled trips have come due. So I was supposed to be in Mexico for these 8 days ending today. And then I was going to come home for 5 days. And then I was going to leave with my wife to come back to Mexico on Saturday of next week. And, you know, we've got this mutual friend, Beth Peterson.
Yeah. She was texting me. She was talking. She was asking, "What's Lou going to say?" I'm like, "I don't know yet."
That's funny. I don't know yet. So Beth, I told Beth about this, right? That I was that I had this 5 days where I was coming home, and suddenly this package shows up in my mail. There's a ticket to instead just leave at the end of the two. So in essence, tickets and a hotel and everything. So that I'm here for the 5 days instead. And there's like this note in here, El Bandido Yankee. And they gave me with a tequila, like it's clearly a tequila brand. And they gave me this note to meet this guy today here in Atotonilco, Jalisco, which is weird. I don't do a lot of Jalisco, so I'm not entirely sure what's going on exactly. but I figure, I trust Beth.
That's why you're a rambling man. You're a Renaissance man and an adventurer, right? You don't need to know. You fly by the seat of your pants, but your pants are always connected to your feet, which are firmly on the ground, supporting great families and mezcal. So let's talk a little bit about, I want the listeners to know in the time that we've got maybe 6-7 minutes. I want you to talk about Sacred, because you have been one of those people. For those people out there that say mezcal, I know what that is. Part of the reason that they do is because of the work of Lou Bank, right? Before, you know, you go back a handful of years and it was a mysterious ball of I don't know, right? But you've brought it to the forefront and at least helped, and mezcal is very big right now.
Well, it's really kind of you. You know, the truth is, like, it's so hard to understand mezcal because so much mezcal, and then also so much agave spirits, these uncertified mezcals, so much of it is made in this pre-industrial manner, And when you start talking about things that aren't made by machine, that are made by hand, that are influenced by how you smell and taste instead of using dials and knobs, you get so much, so many different flavors and aromas, and so many different things happening that it's really hard to understand it. And I, you know, like you've been very kind in the things you say about me, but I'm still trying to completely understand it. So, like the person who doesn't spend 8 trips a year pre-pandemic going to Mexico, it's really hard to grasp it.
Well, other than, let's say, the, you know, mass-produced tequilas that are out there, here's what one of the things that I've gotten through our conversation is that Mezcal has, and it's the traditions that go back many, 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 many years, is that there's relationships with the communities where it really does sustain the communities in a bunch of different ways. And so if you mass-produced it, or if you just turned it into another, commodity, it would really, you know, it would change not only how it was made, what it tastes like, but it would kind of destroy the infrastructure that's been built in those communities. And that's part of what you do with Sacred, right? You keep them in the mix for the whole thing.
Yeah, though, you know, to be clear, there is absolutely such a thing as mass-produced mezcal already in the market. Now, the vast majority of mezcal is not mass-produced. And there are these families who are carrying on that tradition in exactly the way that you describe it. But oftentimes they're not the families who have either the money or are located in the right places to certify as mezcal. But these families, you know, great example is in December, so many of these communities, they thrive on the sale of the mezcal. And with the shutdown in tourism, these communities really started hurting for food. So we at Sacred, we started this program called Feeding Chichicapam, which is one of those communities I'm talking about. And what we did was we fundraised in order to buy packages of food. And this, like, to me, this really explains the importance of these families, to create these packages of food for the community, which we sent to the mescaleros, to the families who make the mezcal, and they distributed to their neighbors in need these packets of food. Because that's what the community is so used to. Whenever times get tough, they turn to these families who've been carrying on this multi-generational wisdom that helps to support these rural Mexican communities.
You mentioned you've been doing this for a number of years, and you still are trying to piece together the full picture of it. We've got like another minute or so, and what I want to do is we're going to schedule a time where you and I can do an extended conversation about all of this. Let's do like a half an hour, maybe even an hour. But as we let you go, for those people who want to get more information, whether it's the website, whether it's to hear some of your conversations on the podcasting side and some of the other kind of communication and conversations that you do, where can they go?
It's beautiful. So you can go to sacred.mx, as in Mexico, sacred.mx, to learn more about the nonprofit. And then I do a week podcast called Agave Road Trip that is available online at agaveroadtrip.com, or you can download it wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. And Lou, what's the name of the Beth had mentioned, she texted, what's the name of the company that helps support?
It's El Bandido Yankee. I think, like, again, I haven't met them yet. I'm guessing they'll show up at this hotel any minute now.
Tell them I said.
Exciting. Before we go, can I just say how much I love the idea of Lisa Chu's Take Out Awards? I wish I were in Chicago to participate. That is so awesome.
It is awesome, and we will convey that. I'm sure she's listening right now. And say hi to the El Bandido Yankee folks for me, and if you know everything, I'm sure we'll go fine, and we'll talk to you soon. Lou, thanks so much for everything you're doing, for sure, and thanks for jumping on the show tonight.
Hey, thank you, Dane. Look forward to seeing you down here with me on one of these agave road trips.
I will be there. All right, so we are going to take a break, and we come back, we'll wrap it up and thank everybody at staying here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, it is Dane here with you for another few seconds. I want to thank everybody that listened to the show. Thanks to everybody who participated, including Lou Bank, Luisa Chu, Joe Bonavacho, Lynn Sapp from Rainbow Cone, Matt McMillan from Cooper's Hawk. Of course, we had West Suburban Community Pantry. We had Sam Hott from Wild Florida, Lance Avery, the guy who's invented the Chicago sauce. So many great people, excited to have them all on. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, and we will see you next time. And stay tuned for Sunday Standards with John Williams, 720 WGN.